it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And here it comes, Mac Jones in a clean pocket, floats it for McCaffrey, makes the catch, touchdown, San Francisco. Picture perfect throw from Mac Jones to Christian McCaffrey to cap a beautiful 2-minute touchdown drive.
I didn't tell him anything. You know, Mac's played a lot of football games. He's won a lot of games. You know, he's been in that position before. And, you know, we all had full confidence in him. He had confidence in us. And I love the way he plays. He plays with so much swagger. You know, he gives it his all. He's so loose on the sideline and a great leader. So, you know, with a guy like Brock down and having Mac come in and step up like that was awesome.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that sound courtesy of Fox, and that was Christian McCaffrey. He had a touchdown reception yesterday. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we're talking about the 49ers who've started their season 2-0. And I'm hearkening back to about 2 weeks ago when I think it was on a Thursday, Evan, where we were at the summit and we found out that Christian McCaffrey had gotten banged up in practice. And that he was working out on the side. He's since played 2 games. How do you feel about Christian McCaffrey? Is he the same? And let me ask 49er fans this too, but Evan will answer first. Does that look like the Christian McCaffrey of 2 years ago?
No.
Oh.
I don't think he does, particularly running the ball. But that's not really the point of the season to me. He's been active for 2 games. That's half of the games he was active for last year. To me, this season is less about if McCaffrey is the same running back as he was from 2023, which, at least by my estimation, is I think we've seen the best of McCaffrey. But can he remain healthy for the entire season? That, to me, is the bigger question that so far has been yes. You know, and we're going to see how many games he plays. We're going to see how many times he's used. And I think it was one of our callers from last segment brought up the fact that Shanahan, you know, looked to be a different sort of play caller. I already think from week one to week two, like he dialed back McCaffrey. He didn't give him the ball as much as he did when Brock Purdy was under center in Seattle. I don't know if he deemed the game not demanding it, but I thought that was also a good sign. The fact that you won a game and Christian McCaffrey didn't have to touch the ball more than any other player in the NFL like he did in week one.
This from the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line from the 615. It's David 615 saying, CMC still looks a little timid to me. His cuts don't look as crisp. I saw a couple tackles that he could have avoided 2 years ago that he got tackled on yesterday. All right. That's from David. If he doesn't look like he did 2 years ago, he's, you know, this is the old, he looks to me 80-85% of who he's been. And I do think that having him out there is half the battle. I think you're right on that one. And when he's out on the field, whether you go to him or not, he's somebody that's got to take the attention from the defense. And so that's why he's so important to this team, even when he doesn't carry the ball.
But Shanahan also, like, did you notice who got the ball first play out of the third quarter, out of the locker room?
No. I can't remember the first play.
Brian Robinson Jr.
Okay.
The first play out of the locker room when you're trying to lap your opponent, right? The middle 8 minutes are the most important minutes of the game, according to Kyle Shanahan. So you score with McCaffrey going into the locker room. You come out of halftime, and the first guy to touch the ball is Brian Robinson Jr. I think that's intentional. And I think that Shanahan is trying to find ways, or understood maybe after week one, someone got to him. Maybe he went back and said that's too much. But he made, I think, he made a choice to not use McCaffrey as much in that football game. And to me, that's the needle that Shanahan is going to have to thread throughout the season to keep him upright, but also to win football games. And so if you're looking at McCaffrey specifically, his production is first and foremost, but his workload is pretty close to being the second most important part about his game. And the fact that you won it, and McCaffrey only touched the ball 19 times compared to 31, that's a win-win.
This is Kyle Shanahan on the overall look of the offense and who pitched in yesterday.
Every phase, offense, even special teams, really contributed in that win. That was real cool. Offense finishing the second quarter, the end of the half with a TD. We had that bad turnover to start the third. I think they went down and scored. Fred's turnover was huge. JJ to get that 40-yarder after that turnover was big on capitalizing. And then the teams, those two punts at the end by Morse, going to the 6 and the 10 on those last two drives, I believe, were huge. So everyone had their part in not doing great, but everyone also had their part in doing really well, which ended in a win, and it was a hell of a deal.
All right, that's Kyle Shanahan. I could tell he liked that win yesterday.
Did you hear what he mentioned in that cut, which he never talks about? Or hasn't talked about in I can't remember how long.
Can I take another listen?
Yeah, listen closely.
Every phase, offense, even special teams, really contributed in that win. That was real cool. Offense finishing the second quarter, the end of the half with a TD. We had that bad turnover to start the third. I think they went down and scored. Fred's turnover was huge. JJ to get that 40-yarder after that turnover was big on capitalizing. And then the teams, those two punts at the end by Morse, going to the 6 and the 10 on those last two drives, I believe, were huge. So everyone had their part in not doing great, but everyone also had their part in doing really well, which ended in a win, and it was a hell of a deal.
Well, I didn't understand what he said at the end there. Was that it?
It was the first sentence.
Everybody had a hand in it. They didn't have a hand in it. Not good, but pretty good and not good.
There's a unit we haven't heard Kyle Shanahan talk about in a positive fashion, it feels like, for over a year.
I don't discriminate versus anyone.
Special teams. He called out the punter. Thomas Morstead got a post-game podium display of affection from Kyle Shanahan. When was the last time you heard Kyle call out special teams and give them a compliment?
Oh, I would say...
outside of trying to mask the deficiencies of his kicker.
Well, 3 weeks ago, he said Moody had one of the greatest kicking games he's ever seen in his entire coaching career. Now, it was an exhibition game, but nevertheless.
So it didn't count.
We've heard him praise this... we've heard him praise Moody. Not Mooney, rather.
All three phases. Like, he mentioned... And, by the way, he's not wrong. Like, Thomas Morstead pinning the Saints inside the 10 twice is a part of the defense being able to make those two last stands. If he punts it into the end zone, maybe that second drive, which starts at the, you know, the 30 or the 35, it gets a little more dicey. But the Saints go 3 and out on the second to last drive. And then obviously Warner makes a big play on Johnson, and Huff makes the final play on fourth down to get him off the field. But special teams, like you saw yesterday, and I know they missed an extra point, but you saw how important the third phase of football can be. We just haven't witnessed it because it feels like the special teams has not been an existent part of this football team.
What if I told you that not the 44-yarder, but the 46-yarder by Pinheiro? I'm watching it go right down the middle, and I'm like, that's the way a field goal should look. That's the way a field goal should look. We haven't had many of those.
Well, the 44 and the 46 are both pretty pure. Well, I know he missed the extra point, but...
The 46 was the one that jumped out at me because he'd hit the 44, and then the 46 was the one that got him, you know, put him up 5 instead of 2, and it was a couple no-doubters. So that was good to see if you're a 49er fan. This is Shanahan talking about Christian McCaffrey and how he played.
I thought Mac played real well. We had a number of things we had to change up. It was a big deal losing Juice there early in the game, especially with Kittle out, just the stuff we had to do with other tight ends. So we were scrambling there for a little bit, trying to figure some things out. Thought he handled the situation well. Thought he delivered the ball real well. Obviously, wouldn't like to have that fumble back. Hopefully, we can get rid of it a little earlier. It didn't look like anyone was really open, though. But I thought he did a hell of a job.
That was about Mac Jones, and I've noticed it said this is the way Shanahan feels about Mac.
Yeah.
And then it got cut off, so I thought it was McCaffrey, but he actually meant Mac Jones.
Oh, there's only one Mac.
Yes, yes.
The return of the Mac, Steiny. There's only one.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Let's go to Leroy. Leroy's in Oakland, wants to talk about that win yesterday. What's up, Leroy? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Steiny. What's up, Evan, man? Happy Monday, guys.
Same to you.
Yeah, no, awesome. Awesome, awesome win. Steiny, you know I had the 49ers in the first six games going 2-6. So I am ecstatic that they have started out 2-0. I'm so glad that I was wrong. And I want to give some credit to the players, the individual players who I was like last week, like, look, I'm the worst Kyle Shanahan hater there is, but I'm getting ready to get off Kyle Shanahan's back. I said this last week, and now it's up to the players to just execute Kyle Shanahan's game plan. Focus. Catch the balls you're supposed to catch. Limit the turnovers. And boy, it seems like each player is now taking it upon themselves to go, hey, I got to get out here and execute Kyle Shanahan's game plan. And they did that, and it was so awesome. And another thing that was awesome to see was, like, last week, I gave Ben Bartsch my personal game ball, number 78 on that offensive line. I thought he was great. He got hurt yesterday, and I was a little worried. But my game ball this week is going to his replacement, man. Connor Colby did an excellent job. He didn't miss too much yesterday, and he came right in and did his job. So I am ecstatic. I hope that the 49ers can keep this up. I'm in wait-and-see mode, but so far so good, and I'm happy, man. Can I say one more thing? If I had to nitpick a little bit, it was the time of possession, right? We're usually killing teams and even good teams in the time of possession area. And yesterday, New Orleans was really close. I think we had a little over 30 minutes. They were right at 29. They were almost even. So to have that against a pretty bad team, to almost even it up on the time of possession, we got to, you know, watch that a little bit. But overall, man, we did great.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call. This is Christian McCaffrey. Well, oh, go ahead. This is going to play a little sound, but go ahead.
No, yeah. I just wanted to say that the reason was because the Saints ran the ball a lot better than the Niners did.
Yes, they did.
And Connor Colby, by the way, was 100% in pass protection. So he did not give up a pressure when he stepped in for Bartsch. And I think that was part of the reason why they threw the ball a lot more with Mac Jones, or I should say we're allowed to. And I know Mac got sacked three times and one time, you know, put the ball in the turf, but I thought the offensive line did a pretty darn good job of making sure that he was comfortable. And the only times that I thought he looked nervous in the pocket was the first drive of the game, when it wasn't just because of pressure. I just think it was nerves of him being out there for the first time this season. So the offensive line, I thought, played really well considering Trent Williams had a bounce-back game, and after struggling against Seattle, was really good, I thought, yesterday. And probably one of the reasons why they threw the ball more is just because they couldn't get it going on the ground. They ran it 26 times and only had 77, and that's 3 yards a pop.
I feel like Mac Jones and Purdy can afford to kind of stay in the pocket for an extra count or two and still make something happen. The one thing I thought Jones did a nice job of yesterday is, like, when he was decisive and kind of took off from the pocket, I think that's the way he's got to do it. Like, he's got to...
That 13-yard run?
Yeah, he's got to run before he gets... Before the trouble... Like, as soon as he sees trouble, he's got to run. He can't put himself into a position that Purdy can put himself into and maybe get out of it. But, you know, all things considered, I mean, I don't know that you could have asked for a better performance from a backup quarterback. And I'll give Mac Jones a lot of credit for that. And you got to give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit for that. This is more Kyle Shanahan on Mac Jones.
Just how he approaches every day. Every day he's on it. He never takes a day off. He's just, as far as how he works on the practice field, how he is in the meetings, he's always grinding. So he's been ready since OTA 1 and never felt any difference.
What'd you think? Kyle Shanahan on Mac Jones? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that it doesn't really matter now, but do you think Mac Jones is the guy that Shanahan's had his eye on for a while? You know what I mean? Like, do you think he was in the mix back with Trey Lance?
Yeah, of course. I think he was. But I think you also saw, for as good as Mac Jones was throwing the ball yesterday, I think you also saw why, and this isn't just a 49ers thing, I think this is more of a league-wide thing, why you can't take a statue that high in the draft. Like, so the Niners, Mac Jones was good yesterday. I thought he was really good. But he can only be that good if the offensive line is also keeping him clean, as much as they did. I thought there were some plays where, I mean, he held on to the ball, held on to the ball, held on to the ball, and no one was getting home. So if he's kept upright, Mac Jones can be a good quarterback. If there's pressure, I don't think Mac Jones can be a good quarterback. So you just have to have mobility at that position. And I think that that's why Brock Purdy is different. That's why he's a difference maker, is because he can use his legs, whereas Mac Jones cannot. So if you go back to that draft, obviously Trey Lance was not a good pick, was a bust. But at the same time, if you're in that war room and someone says, hey, Mac Jones is a good pocket passer, he's also got cement feet. Trey Lance at least can run a little bit, or so we thought, and that might have been the difference.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, your team is 2-0. You won a game yesterday with your backup quarterback throwing 3 touchdowns. And next week you got the Cardinals in your home opener. But let's talk about yesterday. And I think we've got to – I'm interested to know the way 49er fans view this particular game and where we're at in the season right now. A lot's been made of the schedule. Does that even matter right now if you're a 49er fan? The schedule has been the schedule for the last 6 months since it came out, and now you're 2-0 with a win over the New Orleans Saints. And how do you, like, if you were a 49er fan, how do you look at this, like, you're 2-0, your schedule's favorable, you've got 2 division games coming up right now. Like, are you not looking ahead, or are you not looking down the line and talking about what this team can accomplish, or are you just going week to week right now?
Yeah, it's a week to week league. Also, the Niners are playing with a backup quarterback without, like, 3 playmakers. I seriously, if people want to call in, and I encourage them to, 888-957-9570, if you're calling in and thinking about what this team can accomplish, I would like to know why. And it's as much about the people that aren't on the field as much as it is the people that are. Like, I think the Niners have looked good through 2 weeks, but Steiny, I mean, seriously, like, are you thinking about, like, are you forecasting right now how far this 49ers team can go after 2 weeks?
No, but I do think that after 2 weeks, it's kind of shaping up like we thought. It's going to be the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Rams probably. Although, the Cardinals are 2-0 right now too. Yeah, I do. Like, I think I look at this as they are one of 2 or 3 teams that are going to challenge to win this division. And now, after what we've seen in the first 2 weeks, I have no reason to believe that they can't knock on the door and be one of those teams. But, like, honestly, I think if they would have started out 0-2, which obviously they're not, then that would look different. But right now, after 2 weeks, they're still in a position to do everything people want them to do who are their fans, which is try to win the division and make the playoffs, and that's still in hand right now.
But you're asking a question that's not about their record. It's about their level of play.
Right. Right.
So, like, if you're seriously asking that question, you have to judge them not on the two wins that they have in the column, but on what you've seen from the football team. And I haven't seen a level that's been at the same place as Green Bay, even Philadelphia, and who was the other team? The Los Angeles Rams. So that's why I don't really want to play that game. Like, it's been 2 weeks, and in the NFC, they're one of the teams, but I'm not, like, why should we have to talk about this 49ers team as being an elite group? Like, I don't know if they are yet because they've been so hurt. But the fact that they've won games while being hurt puts them in a position to, in a month or two, challenge. But right now, that I guess to me that the question's kind of futile.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is
like, how am I supposed to judge the Niners' offense with Mac Jones under center? He's not going to be the quarterback when Brock Purdy comes back.
Well, I think you look at it and you say the offense looked pretty good with a backup quarterback yesterday, right?
Yeah, but how am I supposed to judge them against Green Bay?
Well, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. We're not going to be able to judge them against Green Bay this year. We're not going to be able to judge them against Philly this year. We're not going to be able to judge them against probably like the top six teams.
Well, we are when they play someone of that caliber, and hopefully they have their characters. But okay, so again, Brock Purdy's supposed to be out 2 to 5 weeks.
Okay.
So if he doesn't play in 3 weeks against the Rams, how am I supposed to judge this team? You know, like, to me, it's about, like, they're in survival mode right now. They have to survive these games, find ways to win, and I don't want to dismiss the credit that they deserve for doing that. That is why I think you're seeing an emotional Fred Warner in week two of a 17-game, six-month-long season, because he understands how difficult this is going to be for them. And I don't want to fast forward past all the good stuff, which is seeing if they can figure this out in real time.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, what'd you make of that win yesterday against the New Orleans Saints? 26-21, you're 2-0 right now. And this is from the 480, good friend Lori in Phoenix. It's still 1 week at a time. Win as many games as you can while you get healthier. It's going to be a roller coaster this year, but if they can get some gritty wins, they have a shot to get themselves into the playoffs. Yeah, I'm on board with that. I actually think the both these wins Sunday and a week ago were pretty gritty, and I don't know if they would have lost them both last year, but they wouldn't have won them both last year. That much seems obvious. 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment was brought to you by Moderna.
And new kicker Eddie Pinheiro misses the extra point.
What is going on with the kickers this year? And today?
It's been an epidemic across the league through one plus week. So here's Pinheiro, who missed the extra point after the touchdown, coming on for what would be a 44-yard field goal attempt. Fourth all-time in accuracy in the National Football League at 88%. This from 44 for Pinheiro. Good snap and hold, and the kick right down the middle. And three on the board makes it 9-0 San Francisco.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. And, missed his extra point. Dude, a guy, field goals are getting longer and longer, though, Evan. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I have. That's an astute point. Brandon Aubrey,
yes.
64.
Yes. And
Not for the Niners, but...
Yeah, they got a 44 and a 46. Now we try to bump that up to 50 at some point, like every other kicker in the NFL.
Yeah, I think I speak for most fans when I say that I don't really care how far you can kick it, as long as if it's inside of 50, it's going in. And I think for a team like the Niners, who have shown an ability to kind of move between the 20s pretty easily, and you know, yesterday in the red zone they got it when it mattered, but I just need to know that if my offense puts you on the 20-yard line, that we're going to get 3 points. And I think it's funny that Pinero, for whatever reason, is... So he's 88% for his career on field goals. He's 91% on extra points. That I can't explain. Like, how come you kick basically the exact same on points, on kicks that matter for 1 point and kicks that matter for 3 points? But at least we know we're getting three.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, give me the most encouraging aspect of that win yesterday in New Orleans, the 26-21 victory. Was it the backup quarterback who simply threw three touchdown passes with no interceptions? Is it the resurgence of Christian McCaffrey after playing just four games last year? Is it Ricky Pearsall off to a good start in year two? The defense, the two big boys on defense have come out of the gates pretty hot in terms of Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. So, you know, we always try to balance who they played and whether you expected it or not. But the bottom line, Evan, is I think that I don't see how you can complain at all about winning the first two games when both of them were on the road and one of them was against a division opponent.
Well, I haven't heard anybody complaining today. I mean, I don't think a single 49ers fan is complaining about the win. You know, I think people are maybe concerned that, look, it came down to the wire against two squads that, I mean, I thought that the Niners, like, they probably should have blown out the Saints yesterday. I mean, they were up by 12, and they had opportunities in the second half to extend their lead. It looked like they were en route to doing that, and then it got a little tight. But, you know, your playmakers made plays. I think the thing that I was most encouraged about yesterday was the coaching staff. I think yesterday was a win for Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh, and you got to throw the special teams unit in there because kicking has been a question mark for this team. And I realize you missed one of the points, but you got six of the potential... What, they got two touchdowns? Six of the potential nine? Or eight of the potential nine? That's a W. Like, I think yesterday looked really good for Kyle Shanahan. And that was a game where we saw him lighten the workload of Christian McCaffrey. We saw him give some praise, some due praise to not just the kicker, but the punter as well, because special teams does matter. And I think Robert Saleh deserves credit because for a second consecutive week, though his defense has been, you know, less than stingy at moments, he dialed up the proper coverages and blitz packages to make sure that the opposing quarterback could not lead his team on a game-winning drive.
This from the YouTube chat, our friend Austin in San Jose. Two mid-teams played. The Niners were supposed to win. Cannot make more out of it. That's kind of where I don't altogether subscribe. And you've played one out of two games with your backup quarterback. Like, I'm starting to come around to your way of thinking. What good is it to be the best team in football in week two? Like, who's the best team in football now? The Packers? The Eagles? I don't know, somebody in the AFC? But does that really matter? Like, I look at it as though if the 49ers can stack wins early, that's all that matters. And I guess what I'm saying, Evan, is I'm sensing that this year may be a year where there's not going to be a lot of fanfare over the wins because of their schedule. So, like, I don't think it's going to be hard for the 49ers to be, like, a super impressive team this year. And that's why after a 6-win season, I got to look at this team and say, can they win 10 games and make the playoffs, essentially? And they beat the Saints on the road, and that's the only thing that matters. Because if you lose that game, then you end up losing a game that many feel you should win. But the reality of the situation is they're 2-0. Their schedule is what it is, and they're going to probably win a lot of games this year where they're not going to get overly praised because of the opponent.
Well, can I ask you why you don't think there's going to be excitement? A lot of people were excited yesterday when they beat the Saints.
I feel like it's going to be really hard to get a feel for this team. And I think we're going to have a lot of games, I think, like yesterday, where people are going to look at the opponent, and the 49ers are going to win a game, and I'm just going to wonder if it's going to be enough. But I think we're going to that's going to be the consistent part of this season, that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to look at the schedule and say, we're not going to be able to find out how good this team is until and unless they make the playoffs. That's what I think we're looking at tangibly because of their schedule.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are looking at the schedule as hard as you are, to be honest. Like, sure, who they play, it matters. And do they beat one of the elite teams yesterday with the way that they played? Probably not. But they played the Saints. The fact remains, Steiny, that I think that from what I've gathered from fans, there's actually a lot more excitement about this particular football team right now than there was about the 49ers 365 days ago. And that was a year in which we expected them to compete for a Super Bowl. I think there's more excitement about this team than there was heading into 2024. And I think it's because of what preceded 2024, what happened in that offseason, the way that they came out flat, and the injuries that it seems stemmed from the Super Bowl run, and they couldn't shake the entire year. I mean, I think that this season, what's exciting about it and what people are missing so far if they're not enjoying these games is there is an absence of expectation. For the last five seasons, there has been an expectation of the San Francisco 49ers to be playing in the biggest game in the second week of February. Now, yeah, obviously the goal of this season is to, of course, win a Super Bowl. It is every single year. But that expectation is not an anvil tied to the ankle of these 49ers. There was no expectation coming into this year because they told us that they were looking to reset things, to retool, to transition, and see how competitive they could be. That's why I think that people were juiced when they beat Seattle, are excited when they beat the Saints. And if they win on Sunday for their home opener at Levi's Stadium, that place is going to be rocking. So what I think we need to do as a collective is wrap our minds around the fact that there is no expectation for this 49ers team right now outside of winning a football game every single Sunday. And they have accomplished that goal twice out of two times.
All right, this is Christian McCaffrey on how he looks at the 2-0 start.
It's an awesome win, man. Anytime you get a win in the NFL, it's awesome. You know, we were obviously down a lot of guys, had some adversity come up, but offense, defense, special teams to close that game out the way we did was awesome. I think there's obviously always room for improvement, but overall the win column being 2-0 right now is awesome. So headed back on that plane will feel much better.
All right, that was Christian McCaffrey after that win yesterday, and that's kind of what I mean. They that team in that locker room, I get the sense is starting to feels pretty good about being 2-0, no matter how it all came down.
Yeah, I mean they didn't start 2-0 last year.
No, they didn't. What did they start last year? They beat the Jets and then they lost to somebody. I can't remember who game two was, but 888-957-95.
They lost to the Vikings.
Oh, that's right.
And Sam Darnold took their lunch.
That's right. That's right. And that was a game where the Niners were actually kind of fortunate to be as close as they were.
Yeah, they got dominated in that game.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, your team's 2-0. How are you feeling after two wins, both on the road, one against a division opponent, both of them one-score games? I mean, if you look at it like that and compare it with a year ago, I mean, they are already ahead of the game. And last year, they lost a lot of one-score games. And this year, they've had two now opportunities, Evan, where week one, they got a score and a hold. And then yesterday, they ended up getting two holds late where the New Orleans Saints had an opportunity for a game-winning drive. And the 49ers held on. And they're 2-0. with two road games under their belt.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that that second to last drive in particular was really impressive because, I mean, you pin them deep, but they didn't go anywhere. I mean, it was a quick three and out, and they bottled a Kamara immediately. They rolled Rattler out and forced an incompletion, and then they got him off the field. And then on that final drive, though, Rattler made some nice throws, and I don't know about you, Steiny. I don't think they were ever threatening the way that maybe you felt like Seattle was after that big play to Jackson Smith and Jigba down the stretch of the game preceding the Bosa sack. But it just felt like they needed to make one play. And to me, that play, I know that Bryce Huff on fourth down beat his man just like a drum. I mean, he exploded off the line like a cannon. But the play that was right before that Fred Warner made on Johnson, I think. The one where he was blanketing him, that to me was an incredibly impressive play. Like, Johnson is one of the better tight ends in terms of catching the ball, although he had two drops in that game that hit him inexplicably in the chest. But I think he showed that on the touchdown catch that he made, why he is as good and why he gets the ball as much as he does. And Fred Warner ran step for step with him. So Fred Warner is not a guy that just plays inside the box, is going to tackle and make plays like he did against Kamara, punching that ball out and recovering it, but can also run stride for stride with any tight end in the league. I thought that was a play that really kind of took the heart out of the Saints because that was supposed to be a bread and butter first down.
This is Fred Warner on the final drive and Bryce Huff coming up big.
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing in those moments is, man, nobody has to be Superman. They're the ones that got to be Superman in those moments, right? They're the ones that got to try to chunk us down the field all the way to eventually score a touchdown. You know, it's not a field goal situation. They're trying to get a touchdown, right? So all the pressure's on them. Let them catch those three, four, five-yard catches. Make him play quarterback. It's a young quarterback. We have tons of respect for Spencer Rattler, right? We spoke on that before the week, but for a young player, it's hard for him to really dice a defense, you know, as talented as ours, to really go all the way down the field, and especially without a run game. I think the run game throughout the game allowed them to continue drives, and obviously silly penalties kept them in the game on some of those drives, but you know, we made the plays when we needed them, and so happy for Bryce, man. That was such a big play at the end, and always find a way.
All right, that was Fred Warner talking about, you know, the big stops down the stretch. And
yeah, I disagree with him on one thing.
Oh.
So he said, we don't have to be Superman. I disagree.
Really?
Fred Warner is Superman. Like, that play he made on Alvin Kamara to punch that ball out, that's a Superman-like play. He had 11 tackles. He made that last pass defense against Juwan Johnson. Like, those are Superman-type plays. And to me, Fred Warner is, I mean, he's hands down the best middle linebacker in football. But for much of last season, Steiny, we saw him play with a broken ankle and still make some pretty incredible plays. You know, the first 2 weeks of the season, I think more so against New Orleans and Seattle, you saw how good Fred Warner can be when he's at 100%. And it's one of the reasons why this Niners defense is at the level it is already. Because clearly when he's at his best, he makes everyone else's job so much easier. And it's like, sometimes I feel, you know, if you're a fan of watching your team against the Niners, the one thing you don't want is the ball near number 54. Because he might punch it out, he might knock it away, he might tackle you for a loss, or he might pick it off. And so Fred Warner, to me, as much as he's trying to play humble and give credit to the rest of his guys, like, he is Superman.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get what he was saying, though. And that is, if we all stay solid, we should be able to keep them out of the end zone. You know what I mean? Because it's Spencer Rattler.
He also threw three touchdowns yesterday.
No, he did.
Spencer Rattler.
No, and Fred Warner is an unbelievable player. I think, you know, he's talking about let's us not make a mistake, you know, on one of these last drives. Let's make them make a bunch of plays, and they weren't able to on two consecutive possessions. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin's in Sonoma. Hey, Kevin, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going well.
Hey, I love to start 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that instead of saying we should make the playoffs, I think we should just take one game at a time. I know you guys talking about Fred Warner being a Superman, but playing every year takes a little wear and tear on the body. I believe since Purdy came, a lot of these guys aged a lot of bits after all these years. But anyway, as far as last year, when we won 6 games, I know for a fact that at least 2 or 3 of those games we lost because of Moody. I also know there was a couple of games we might have lost because of penalties and maybe interceptions. So if you add about 4 or 5 games from last year, we would have had at least 10 wins. So I just still think we should just take one day at a time and especially just try to win our division, and next week will be a good test at home. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate the call. Don't forget, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. There you have it. From the last caller, talking about Fred Warner. What do you think of Nick Bosa's game, Evan?
I thought he was good again. I mean, I thought in the first half, Nick Bosa was all over the field. And he made, I think it was the second to last drive where he got that sack. And so now he's got a couple of important ones in big moments. But I thought yesterday you saw kind of a glimpse as to what Bosa, along with Mykel Williams, could be together. You know, Williams didn't play very well against Seattle, but I thought he looked a lot better yesterday. And if you have a couple of edge guys that are putting pressure on the quarterback or making things difficult for, you know, opponents, like, that's kind of the vision, you know. And it's the Saints, and it's a football team that is certainly not in the upper echelon. But if Nick Bosa and Mykel Williams are getting to the quarterback, I do think it makes this defense a lot scarier than I thought.
Yeah, I think the defense has been good. I mean, especially when you figure that the goal is for them to get better over the course of the season with their young players. I'd be encouraged about the defense right now of the San Francisco 49ers. Offensively, I mean, I think you take what you've been given. Considering that you've had a lot of injuries on offense, and he scored 26 points on the road, not bad. And now you're 2-0. This is Christian McCaffrey on the confidence that the 49ers had in Mac Jones going into that game yesterday.
I didn't tell him anything. You know, Mac's played a lot of football games. He's won a lot of games. He's been in that position before, and you know, we all had full confidence in him. He had confidence in us, and I love the way he plays. He plays with so much swagger. You know, he gives it his all. He's so loose on the sideline and a great leader. So, with a guy like Brock down and having Matt come in and step up like that was awesome.
I mean, it does feel like this is probably one of their better backup quarterbacks. This is why you get a backup quarterback. He's probably going to play 3 or 4 games, and can he win 2 or 3 of them, Evan?
Well, or he only has to play the next one if Brock Purdy's healthy. Like, we don't know how long Brock Purdy's going to be out. But do you feel better about their chances to win on Sunday after seeing what Mac Jones did to the to New Orleans?
Yeah, I do. And I feel like Kyle Shanahan has no problem coaching a Mac Jones quarterback team. Like, he didn't look like a backup quarterback. Without comparing him to Purdy, Evan, like they moved the ball. They didn't run it great, but they moved it through the air. Like, that didn't look like a backup quarterback playing. It looked like a pretty good quarterback playing in the NFL.
Well, the Saints are a part of it for sure, but I also think that's why you went out and got Mac Jones.
Yep.
You know, you moved on from Brandon Allen. You didn't want, for whatever reason, Kyle Shanahan just didn't display a level of confidence in Josh Dobbs, and even though he's probably a more dynamic quarterback. But, like, that's why Mac Jones is here and those two quarterbacks from last season are not. Because Kyle Shanahan clearly feels like with Mac Jones, there isn't as deep of a drop-off. And he threw three touchdowns yesterday. I thought Mac Jones looked pretty good. Now, he also had some plays where he threw the ball into the third row. And I think it was in the first drive of the second half where it was like a 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11. He had Ricky Pearsall wide open, deep. And he just overthrew him by like 5 yards. It didn't matter because there was a flag on the Saints. They ended up getting a field goal on that drive. But, you know, he wasn't perfect. Like, that's a missed touchdown. So that's where you look a little more like a backup quarterback. But can you do enough to help this team win? And I thought that Mac Jones was, that's all you can ask for from him, especially with some of the injuries that happened during the game. Your guard goes down. I know Juszczyk is not as much of a weapon, but he gets hurt. So, like, Kendrick Bourne caught 3 catches yesterday. He was signed off the street 5 days ago.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
No, I think the 49ers, like, they have started the season exactly like they wanted to start the season. And if you look at it from a big picture, they've had some injuries already early in the season, and they're still 2-0. So the big picture to me is that the season's off to a fantastic start. Now, nobody's saying that this is going to be a 14-win team, but the way I look at it is the season has gotten off to the kind of start it needs to get off to set the table for a successful season. And if you're thinking that the 49ers haven't played great or, you know, the Saints stink, you might be right. But they're 2-0, and that was the number one goal of this team coming into the season. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by Alameda County.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.